Welcome back, everybody. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince for another Uncomfortable. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about when life changes without warning. And Vince, you just recently had a very interesting time. You know, of course, you and I both recently traveled. The last show that we recorded, I'm sure people could tell the audio was not quite the same. Well, I was remote and I forgot to bring a mic, so I was using my AirPods. And so it sounded quite different. But, you know, so it was a little bit of an unexpected, but at the same time, it was not necessarily completely unplanned, but it was like 99% unplanned because it was like I decided to go check on my daughter the day before, you know, between me and my wife. So, but you recently had an even more, you know, life-shaking experience when you did your travel. You know, do you want to just paint a picture for people about some of the situations that we may be discussing tonight?
Sure. I mean, mine wasn't, you went to Florida to visit your daughter. I went to the same state to visit my son and some friends we had there.
Yeah, but not to the same city.
No. We went further south than where you went. So you were up in the Panhandle. We were down in the peninsula. So, and we hit a couple of the cities down there. So, I know we just had an interesting, I know you had a long, what, like 17, 18 hour trip. Ours was flights, of course, but you know, there was delays and stuff on the way in and then extreme delays on the way back. So it got interesting. Let's just say we were supposed to get home originally on Wednesday. By the time we got home, it was Friday morning at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
I think you still got back later than I did, but I was expecting to be back by like 9 in the evening, right?
Right. So what would have put you would have got home at 9 on that Thursday.
But it wasn't until like 11:30-ish or something like that when we got home, because we hit so many delays on I-20 coming across the country. It was just like,
We would have been home at like around the same time. We literally would have been getting home around the same time by the time we got picked up from the airport and got to the house. But ended up being almost five hour delay on our plane. Thankfully, you know, everything worked when we got in the plane and there was no issues and no turnarounds, but yeah, we ended up having to wait on the plane had to turn around. There was a medical emergency, and then they found a mechanical issue that they had to fix. And then the crew that was on that flight in midair timed out, meaning that they were at the end of their time that they were allowed to fly for the day. And so they had to bus in or bring in a crew from a couple hours away, and we had to wait on them to get in. To get on the flight, and by the time they got everybody in and all that, it took extra time, and so we didn't get home till 4 something our time, which would have been like 5 something East Coast time.
So you were dealing with several realities of life's curveball moments is really what you were dealing with.
Pretty much. I mean, it was when the timer on the clock says you're supposed to leave at 8:44, and then it says delayed, and you're going up there to look to say, okay, well, maybe it's 30 minutes or whatever. And it's 3 hours later than the original time. And then it keeps getting pushed back. Yeah, that's a little bit of a curveball.
Oh, man. You know, so many times life will change without warning. You know, it could be that last minute you need to go check on a loved one. It could be you're trying to travel and you hit traffic, or your flight gets canceled completely. And you have to completely figure out what's going on. Fortunately, you guys were able to actually get your flight. Some people, they're like, there's no more flights, and they have to wait in the airport for a couple of days to get back home.
Yeah, or make the really hard decision, if they can, to rent a car and drive the distance that they need to go.
Absolutely. And that's not completely unexpected. It really is unexpected for most people. But the reality is, when those things happen, we should take into account the probability of problems. But many times we don't. I have a good friend. He and his family just went to Illinois recently to go spend some time with a foreign exchange student that they used to host at their home. And she was graduating from college. And So they wanted to go and support her because she'd been at their house for like 2 years or something, or a year or something. I can't remember exactly. I think it was a year now that I think about it. And on the way there, they ended up with a flat tire. Fortunately, there was a good Samaritan that came and picked them up, took them all the way to where they needed to be, was kind enough to hang out for a couple hours, and then take them back to their car.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. And here's the other thing that's kind of a caveat to that. His kids didn't want to leave until like 15 minutes until the last minute to when they would have to leave to make it on time. Because, you know, the ignorance of youth is we'll just drive a little faster. Everything will be fine. But life experience will teach you when you've been kicked square between the cheeks a couple times, you know what I'm saying? It says you better plan in some oops time because something's going to happen. And it may not, but then you're fine. But, you know, there is a good chance that something may happen and you'll be delayed at least 30 minutes to an hour, especially on a long trip. Anything that's like 10 plus hours, you better build some oops time into it. You know, that's just telling you at the moment what you need to do.
We do that whenever we're on a long trip and it says, like when we look at it and it says 15 hours or something, then we'll automatically say, oh, it's going to be about 17 hours.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because it's in there that you don't know.
Those curveballs will hit you. And it'll be like that fastball that you were thrown by the pitcher and you didn't expect it. And it hits you square between the eyes because you didn't move out of the way. And then you'll be like, what happened? Seeing those stars. And anyway, so we know life changes with that warning. The things can come up.
So thinking with this subject and this topic, I think we should start with some of the lighter stuff and work our way to the heavier stuff. Because obviously this is a category that can go from really, really light to really, really heavy. And just to clarify so that people listening aren't saying, well, why are you only talking about these things? There are a lot worse things that could happen. Well, obviously. But in that, the big things are the big things, but it's the smaller things. The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. So it's the little things that tend to really mess us up. And like I was sharing with you before,
absolutely,
is that I was so surprised at how well I actually handled the delay. I mean, obviously, like I told you, I had a headache at first. So I was getting really annoyed with people just kind of bouncing back and forth and getting really close to me and hitting my chair with their luggage. But once the headache got under control, I was fine. I didn't have an issue with anybody anymore. And I was just pleasantly surprised to see the change and the growth that had happened in me, because that's something I had been asking the Lord about, helping me to not.
You asked God to help you with something, and all of a sudden he put you or allowed you a situation to where you could grow.
Well, really, it's kind of an offshoot, because I'd asked him to help me to have a better attitude or not get so angry when I'm in Dallas traffic.
Uh-oh.
So, and anybody that listens to this that is from the Dallas area knows and understands just how bad.
Well, I would say if you're a part of Dallas, Houston, Atlanta, Austin, San Antonio, or Nashville traffic, any major city,
metropolitan area,
you know,
LA, Chicago, New York, yeah.
And I've heard some of those locations around California are absolutely insane around rush hour.
Yeah, right. They say San Francisco is horrible too, but I've never been to either one of those, so. I will say that's there's some places in Florida too that are just absolutely awful when it comes to traffic. So I get it. It's traffic is an issue. And, you know, I don't want to respond to people anymore the way I don't want to react. I want to respond. I don't want to be like, oh, you're a dirty jerk or whatever. Why'd you cut me off? Blah, blah, blah. But instead want to just try to be like, okay, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. And try to work and handle things a little better and not be so flippant with my words, because when you are reacting in that way, you could potentially be speaking curses over that individual and not realize.
Oh, absolutely. You know, here's the other thing about this topic we're talking about, there is a shock factor to it. When you go through one of these moments, you have a moment that could be painful or disorienting.
That's true.
Right? Because it's a sudden change. It's jolting. You know, even Christians can have fear, doubt, or frustration if they're not careful and they open themselves up to it. Because the word doesn't say that you're immune from it. It says that he's not given you a spirit of fear. But you give the option sometimes to the enemy to torture you because of the way you may posture yourself in certain situations. You know, you can open yourself up to anxiety. You can open yourself up to fear. You can open up yourself to doubt and frustration. But if you allow yourself to rely on him, meaning the Lord, versus focusing on the situation you're dealing with, he can calm that storm that's happening, right? So we need to find that way to normalize that discomfort through Christ. See, Jesus never told us that we would have comfort and peace at all times. He is the King of Peace, but he promised that we would have tribulation. He promised there would be moments of discomfort, you know, but he did promise that we would have his presence if we just ask and we just seek it. And in his presence, that's where we find his peace. If we don't maintain and cultivate and maintain his presence, how do we expect to maintain the spirit of peace in our life?
I'm a little bit upset with you, Kirk, right now, because I feel like you're talking directly to me and trying to reach through the screen and slap me around. So I'm a little offended right now. No, just kidding. I, you know, it's, again, starting with things that are not like necessarily, they're not necessarily life or death. Having a delayed flight, even being delayed in traffic, they're not life or death. I mean, obviously there's situations tied to that where you could be trying to get somewhere. I get that. But in general, if you're driving and you hit traffic, for you on a regular day, it's not life or death. If you're on a plane or you're set to fly out somewhere and there's a delay, it's not necessarily, it's not usually life or death. It's just a delay in you getting home and you getting or to your location or doing what you have to do. And so, and those things are just unavoidable. You can't do anything about it. No matter how much time you plan, put around planning and extra time, you can't account for what if the plane's delayed? What if because of the delay, you miss your connecting flight, if you have a connecting flight? So there's obviously certain things you just can't plan for. And so you have to do your best to roll with the punches. And like I said, I was pleasantly surprised at how well I handled it, because in the past, I've had times where I did not handle that so well. And I spent more
time... I'm pretty sure we've all had those moments, including
I spent more time frustrated, though, and that was the problem. I spent more time frustrated than I did actually thinking about everybody else involved.
Oh, wow.
So
I gotcha.
You know what I mean? It really was, when you look at it at its core, it really was, I guess, all about me, my frustration, my upsetness. Even though I was looking out for the people that were with me and traveling with me, it was, you know, oh, I'm so, why are they so, why does this always happen to me?
You know, you're almost sounding like a Toby Keith song now, buddy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all about me.
I don't know country music.
You know, I don't remember all of it, but like some of my family listen a little here and there, but there's one song where he's like, sometimes it's about me.
And I mean, there's good ways and bad ways for things to be about you. And, you know, but in this case, the fact, like I said, I handled it as well as I did. I was very excited but processing and going through, I was very happy to see that I didn't just fly off the handle. I handled things really well, lighthearted. I even joked with the people that were, you know, the staff that were there, because there's nothing they could do about it. And because our flight was late, they actually ended up having to work 3 or 4 hours of overtime that they were like, I was supposed to be home at 9:30. So I get that too. And those guys had to ended up staying 4+ hours longer than they were supposed to. So, you know, just even telling them thank you for handling us well and not being mean to us and talking down to us, but yet being, you know, Because everybody hears the complaints, but nobody gets to hear the thank yous. So I tried to make sure to say the nice things to them too while we were
Very
there.
good.
And so the attitude that I handled everything and carried everything, I was really proud of how well it was versus ways I've handled it in the past. Even if it was just internally, it's been sometimes even though on the outside I wouldn't, but this time it wasn't that way. And I was very grateful to God that he kept us safe at every corner. And that, yes, there was a mechanical issue, but they found it and they fixed it. And that mechanical issue could have turned into something worse, and we might not be having this conversation right now.
Well,
So,
I'm very glad they found the mechanical issue when they did, instead of it being 30,000 feet in the air.
right. So, and you just don't know what happens at that point. There's so many different things that play into it, and there's been a lot of issues that have been plaguing the airline industry lately. So, you just don't know what could happen. So, and it's the same way with anything. You might be waiting on, like, some people out there might be waiting on, like, a job promotion or a new job, and you don't hear back from them in the timeline that you expect to hear from them, or you don't hear, it doesn't happen. The place that you want to go doesn't happen, and so you end up somewhere else, and you're like, see, it's God. Like, it's either God saying that wasn't the right place, or it's God saying that, like, this is a punishment or something because this place I'm at is awful. And we need to change the way we think about that to it's part of the mission. Like, if God sends you somewhere, even if it is to work a job somewhere, maybe there's a reason for you being there. That's, yeah, maybe it's probably for you to learn something too, but maybe it's to be a positive influence on somebody else. Maybe it's to be the light and the darkness that we're supposed to be.
There you go.
I mean,
You
that's
know,
just my little thought on it.
it's interesting you talk about being the light and the darkness. I can think of a couple of biblical, characters or figures within history that faced unexpected turns. If you think of Mary, the mother of Jesus,
Yeah, she probably wasn't expecting that one.
suddenly out of nowhere, an angel goes, "Hey, Holy Spirit's coming on you. Guess what? You're going to birth the Messiah." And she's like, "And what?" You
Say
know,
what?
she's like, "The what?" Job, out of nowhere, wealthy, very prosperous, many children, thought he had the best marriage in all of the kingdoms, and all of a sudden his wife's cursing him, telling him to curse God, and all
Boom.
of his friends are saying that he's in sin, and he's like, "I haven't sinned. I'm holy before the Lord. What are you talking about?" But everyone's like, "Well, if that's the case, then why are you going through all this?" And then Joseph, Joseph with the coat of many colors. His brothers got completely cray cray, whenever, they kept seeing all the pretty, jackets and all the favor that he got. So what was expected, right? Joseph had multiple times where he had to do nothing but trust in God, no matter what's going on. Because if he didn't trust in the Lord, nothing would work. Now, what would have happened if they didn't turn to God, but rather turned away and just ran into the middle of the muck? I
Yeah,
mean,
like gave into it.
if they gave into the stress, they gave into the unknown and got into depression, if they gave into the anxiety of continuously being in jail, like Joseph, he was in jail for a while, and if he didn't put his full faith in the Lord, and didn't continually to keep his eyes on God, he would have been lost. Because Joseph, out of all of them, between him and Job, man, they
Yeah,
both had
that's
it rough.
pretty rough.
But they ended up trusting the Lord, pursued him in obedience, even when things got rough. It doesn't mean that they didn't have moments where they were crying in their with their head, hands in their head, on their head. You know what I'm saying? It'd be a little difficult if they're in the head. You know, they probably bawling their eyes out, trying to cover their face. They're waiting on the Lord, but at the same time, in those moments, they found solace in God because they were pursuing Him, even in the tears. The word talks about God collecting our tears, right? the prayers of his saints and the tears, you know, so even in those moments where they were pouring their heart cry out to God, pursuing him with all their heart, they were waiting on God. They were pursuing him. And in that, they found his presence. And in his presence, they found peace, even in the midst of the storm. You know, even though Noah expected the flood, there's nothing that says he knew the exact day or the hour. It just says God said, go get in the ark.
It's true. I mean, it took him over 100 years to build it.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I'm sure with that many animals in the ark, the moment he got locked in that place, he was probably thinking, Lord, it smells something awful up in here. You're going to make, I've got, how long? How long? How long, right?
I think that's kind of, it's kind of become synonymous with human nature, especially as we've reached into the age that we're in technologically. You know, it's how long is this going to take? It shouldn't take this long. And it's taking too long. And, you know, I can microwave this. I can microwave that. And now you've got the introduction to AI. So now I don't even have to think. I could just type in stuff and it should tell me how to do this and how to do that. And look, there's benefits to it. So I'm not knocking it in that way, but if you're using it to think for you, then you're just being lazy and not doing anything on your own. And truth of the matter is, I mean, listen, God sometimes allows delays to happen in our life for reasons. Sometimes it's to build us up in the waiting. Sometimes it's because it's not time yet. We might think it's time, but if we were to take that promotion or take that this or whatever it may be, at that moment, we wouldn't be able to handle what comes with it. So, I mean, moving into, I guess you'd say, the next phase of it, I'm sitting here looking at some of these different notes and potential things and roads we could go down. The one that keeps coming back is, to me, is delays. Like, even though the flight was delayed, let's look at that flight in a different manner. Let's look at it as a portion of your life. Where are you heading? Where are you going? And there's a delay. That it went from being on time and everything was right to now there's a delay. Well, the scripture says that for the vision awaits, this is, I'm sorry, I hesitate to say the name because everybody has their own way of saying it, but it's Habakkuk, old Habba. It's in chapter 2, verse 3. It says, for the vision awaits its appointed time, It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Which sounds like it's contradicting itself and saying that it'll come, but it won't delay. Well, that just means that it's going to come at the right time. And for you and I, it might feel like a delay, but for everyone else or for the actual thing to come to pass, it's at the right time. Maybe you can't do it right now because there's someone that you're supposed to interact with or conversation that you're supposed to have with someone. And if you were to get that spot now, you would never meet that person.
Oh, absolutely.
And never be able to influence their life and never be able to have a conversation with them. That could change the course of their life. You know what I mean? So in the waiting, we just have to be prepared. Again, that isn't always fun. It's not always easy. There's not much that's really easy or fun.
Oh, no,
about
there's not.
Waiting.
Well, let's visit some practical steps for our listeners.
I am down for that. I like practical steps.
First of all, stop and acknowledge how you feel, right? And the emotions. However, I would add on to that. Don't give in to the emotion. Some people say don't suppress it, but I would say don't give in to it. I'm not saying that if you need to cry, don't keep yourself from crying. That's not what I'm saying. But don't give in to the emotion. Instead, submit that thing to the Lord.
You mean like don't let it control you, right?
Exactly. Don't let it control you. It doesn't mean you can't release your emotions, but don't give into it to the point to where it controls you and becomes the dominant factor. You know, allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in that situation. You know, submit it to Him, lay it at His feet. Even in the you might be going through a, you know, world-changing cataclysmic event that completely rocks you to the core to where you're on your face sobbing all your heart out. Don't let it control you. Instead, in those tears, cry out to God and submit them to Him. And allow Him to be your comfort. It may be hard in the moment, but as you do it, you will find peace and you will find strength. I mean, I know that you and I have both been through moments in our life to where if we didn't reach out to God in those type of moments, there would have been nothing to comfort us.
That's true.
And it wasn't easy in the moment. But looking back at those moments, I know that when I reached out to God in those moments, that's what stabilized my foundation. Because it was almost as if someone tried to take dynamite to the foundation, if you know what I mean. So
no, I get that.
Whenever I submitted everything to Him in the moment, even with the ugly cries, you know what I'm saying? That's whenever He solidified, and it's almost like instantly began to re-solidify that foundation, repair the brokenness, and began to pour in the healing balm of Gilead into my soul and began the restoration process. It doesn't mean it's an overnight thing, but He will begin to heal that heart. He'll begin to heal your soul and restore you in your mind, body, and soul to where you're a whole person once again. And there is a point that you can get to as you continue to press into the Lord, that where it's almost as if those things happen to someone else when you talk to them, to other people. But that's when you get completely delivered and healed in that situation. And there is no condemnation if it doesn't happen overnight. Everyone is different. Some people are very quick. Others take weeks or months to heal. And depending on the situation, sometimes it can even take years. But as you surrender, it's in the surrender where you're going to find strength and healing. And sometimes the surrendering is hard.
You could say that one more time.
Yeah, sometimes the surrendering is very, very hard. And Holy Spirit will remind you. Sometimes He'll be like, son, I know you dealt with this last week, but you know, see this little area over here in your heart? You still haven't peeled back that layer of the onion and exposed it so I can heal that spot. If you let it fester, it's gonna create some rot there. You need to peel that back so I can get that out. And it's not necessarily a fun thing, but the Lord will be faithful to help heal and restore and remove the brokenness if you'll allow Him to. So the next step would be seek God first in prayer. Even when you feel confused and when you're angry. And I would add in hurt and sad to that. You know, because only in Him are you going to find your comfort? Make sure that you stay anchored in the truth of God. Reconnect yourself in scriptures. You know, get your daily devotional back up on track. You need to surround yourself with a godly community, fellow believers that can encourage you, not people that are going through the same junk and they'll say, yeah, you're doing good. Oh, that's fine to badmouth that person, or that's fine to do X, Y, Z. No, no. You need people that have been through it and already conquered it, that they can say, hey, let me pull you up out of that mess. You know, Vince and I have both been through those moments to where we needed our brothers that could pull us up out of the moment and say, no, no, you're starting to, you know, look at this the wrong perspective, or you need to, and they would snap us out of the moment where we were thinking incorrectly and caused us to, you know, say, Lord, forgive us. You know, help us to have our heart set straight on You.
Now, even like, what am I missing? Like, sometimes it's just what am I not seeing that they're seeing? Am I blinded to something? And, you know, it's not always that it's a wrong in terms of a sin. Sometimes it's a wrong in terms of our expectations and our perspectives. We're looking through the wrong lens. I think I've heard you say it like this. You're looking at things through the stained glass window of the church kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So
and you had mentioned something about making sure that you're reading and getting in the Word. I wanted to add this little caveat in there.
Yeah.
When you're reading your Word and you've set up a daily time to read, no matter what's happening in your life, you should hold to that. no, whether you're still dealing with sin, whether you're still, or whether you're still struggling with like being held by a certain emotion, anger, depression, whatever, no matter what it is that's going on in your life that can separate you from God, you should still continue to read your Bible every single day. And here's why. And it's not because you're like, oh, look, well, I'm a hypocrite like everybody else, which the enemy likes to put that in us and be like, oh, you're going to sit here and read your Bible, and yet you're going to go over there and do this and do that, and you're going to cuss like you do or talk like you do or whatever. The reason is, and I remember the Lord told me this not too terribly long ago, because I was like, Lord, the attitude or whatever I'm having, I don't even think I should be reading the word. And he's like, why? And I was like, well, I mean, it's not, I'm not worthy to open your word right now. I was like, I just like said some really mean things to some people, or at least in my heart I did. I might not have said it out loud, but, and he said, then what better thing to do? He said, listen, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're doing, by daily putting the word in you, you're washing out, you're rinsing out that old way, that old man. And the more that you put in, the more you're replacing that with the old stuff. He said, so what you'll find is, even though you may struggle with this right now, if you're putting the word in you daily, 6 months down the road, you won't have as much of an issue with it anymore.
Hey, that's right, man. That's exactly
Just
right.
a little, sidestep caveat, go down the rabbit trail a little bit, but it builds on what the stuff that you were talking about. So,
Well, right in line with what you're saying is we have to be willing to let go of our plans, our design,
expectations,
our
yeah.
expectations, and make room for God's. Because too many times we try to put our plan into play, and God's like, he's like, dude. And here I'm gonna paint you a picture. We've all been on social media and we've seen the picture of Jesus with the teddy bear behind his back, and he's asking the little girl to give him the itty bitty teddy bear, right? And he's trying to give the little girl this ginormous one that he's got hidden behind his back. But the only way he can give it to her is if she lets go of what she has. Well, our plan is we're trying to hold on to what we think is best. And Jesus is like, dude, I am so trying to give you something that's double the value, maybe even triple as good. And you won't even let go of this small little thing that you think is this great thing, but it really is nothing in the light of eternity. I'm trying to bless you, but you're holding on to something that's going to become a curse to you.
When sometimes it's we get deceived in the fact that we think this is what God's vision for our life is, and it's really just our expectations.
There you go.
It's misappropriated and misused, and we're being misled by expectations instead of the true vision that God has for our life. This was a source of conversation in the last couple of weeks of class this semester with several students and sharing with them, and that was the theme that kept coming up. Of and maybe we could do a show on that one, vision versus expectations, God's vision versus our expectations,
There we
and
go.
things like that. So that might be a good show to do in the future.
Oh yeah, that I'm always down for anything that makes people think, what? What's going on?
Be aware, everyone, it might be the next show. You never
You
know.
never know. All right. There's a couple key scriptures I'd like just to shout out to people. You know, if you are into studying, I would recommend you're looking up Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, Romans 8, 28. Isaiah 43, 2, and James 1, 2 through 4. You know, and then, hey, hit us back on email, uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. We would love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts. You know, tell us, give us some of your footnotes on your notes. Show us that you've been studying and getting into the Word specifically on this topic. You know, and on Romans 8, 28, I would challenge you. Study out what it means for God to be good. What he means by good, you know, and hit us back on that email address. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Also, give us a show topic idea. We'd like to hear that too there. Now, before we wrap this up, don't forget, put your trust in God, even when it feels like everything's being worked out in silence. Faith grows the most when when it's tested. It's like we've talked about many times before. Faith is a lot like when you go to the gym. It has to be stretched. It has to be put under pressure. It has to be given resistance. It can't grow without those things. You know, God, and I'm talking to all of you listeners, every one of you, God is trying to make you into a choice diamond. Diamonds are only formed under great pressure and intense heat. If you're not being put under intense heat and intense pressure, God can't make you into that diamond. So he allows those situations to happen in your life to help form you into that precious jewel that he can use for his kingdom glory. Because he knows how valuable you are. So continue to speak words of encouragement and peace over your life. Declare the word of God over your life. Find the scriptures that speak into your situation and to begin to declare those things over you. Speak them out loud. There's power in your tongue. The word of God says that there's power of life and death in your tongue. Take the word of God, declare it over your life, and begin to declare his freedom, his peace, and his mercy over you in your situation, and you will find peace. Guys, we declare right now in the name of Jesus, grace, favor, and peace over you. If you're going through a struggle or a situation that's unexpected and you feel overwhelmed, we just declare mercy and grace in Jesus' name over you and your family.
Amen. Guys, God bless you guys.
Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time.
See y'all next time.